Get those searchlights up on the tower, right now! Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. Today I have a representative from the Armidale Tree Group in the studio, Paul McFarlane. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Herb. Thanks for inviting me in and giving us the opportunity to speak about the Tree Group, one of my big passions.
So tell me, Paul, you're a local?
Wasn't born and raised here, but I've been here for the last 33 years. I came here and started work as the planter at Jimmerick Shire, 93, and I've been here ever since. I then left local government and started teaching urban and regional planning out at the university. So I've brought on some good planners, and please don't blame me for all the mistakes of local government.
No, no, we won't do that. Now, you're on a bit of a property out of town?
Yeah, we're just on a little 100-acre property just east of town on Gera Road, and it was a bare block, and we started setting up out there. One of the things we started was to re-veg farm, so I became associated with the Tree Group as a customer originally, going in and seeing Mike O'Keefe and Rob and getting farm planting ideas and packs done up. And ever since we've been out there, we've done an annual planting with a group of friends and volunteers, and we've got about 20,000 trees and shrubs in the landscape at the moment. Some successes and some not, but we've learnt by doing, and it's been a really good journey.
So that goes back then to the early days of the Armidale Tree Group. Tell us about how the Armidale Tree Group was established and why.
Well, the Armidale Tree Group started just over 40 years ago. We had our 40th anniversary last year, so we're in our 41st year. It came around because a whole lot of interested community members were watching the dieback going on in the New England. There was a whole range of causes of that, but basically the eucalypts in the landscape were dying because of attack from disease and from insects.
Did that have anything to do with the clearing that had previously gone across the landscape?
Yes, it reduced the vitality of the landscape basically, and the trees were stressed, and then when they get hit by drought and other impacts, they can't cope. That really drew people's attention to what was a real blight in the landscape, literally.
So they talk about the edging effect. So you've got to have certain size groups of trees to reduce the edging effect and to keep the survival of large clumps of trees. Would that be correct?
That's correct, yes. You need them. You can't leave trees in isolation. They'll just get to the end of their life, die out. They need the opportunities to create their own environment, their own ecosystems, and then build the generations just like any other population. So once you then put them under stress and take away the mass that you have, you end up with problems in the landscape.
So it would be true to say that Armidale Tree Group was established to re-green the New England?
Yes, yes. And that's why we've adopted the motto of every tree counts, because it's really important to get revegetation back into the landscape and encourage as many people as possible to participate in replacing what our forebears took out and then what nature is trying to replace now. We need to give it a helping hand.
So I suppose hand in hand with the regeneration, the regreening across the New England, we're talking about re-establishing habitats for our local species, our native marsupials, our birds, all the bits and pieces.
We've worked strongly over the years on various corridor projects, things like koala corridors, but also threatened bird and other species, regent honey eaters. We've looked at revitalising waterways, de-snagging them from weeds and putting native vegetation back in there in appropriate locations. So, yes, it's been a whole of landscape approach.
So you mentioned the corridors. I remember Kath Ray was very big on the corridors. May she rest in peace.
The Citizens Wildlife Corridor was a big project.
Yep.
Even when I was at Jimmerick Shire, Kath used to be in there every other day poring over the maps that we had in there to work out how connections could be made between properties and where we would target revegetation. That legacy's continued, and Kath's very fondly remembered for all her work, and we take that and progress it wherever we can. There's been a lot of community planning days that we've done to build up the corridor from Yooralla basically through to Gostwick along the waterways to actually create a citizens' wildlife corridor along the travelling stock reserves.
Yeah, I suppose the travelling stock reserves, it's what we've got left that's intact, that hasn't been cleared.
Yes, and it's also good because in the places we're able to use, they're not necessarily active travelling stock reserves in the way they used to be. So we can then ensure that largely things get established before they're attacked by introduced animals and cows, sheep and that sort of thing.
And you say the timber is to be left, any fallen timbers to be left in the roadside, in the travelling stock reserve areas, just so that habitat for species that are ground dwelling?
That's a good observation, and it's probably something that the community broadly doesn't really understand, particularly when we have so many wood fires where people are looking for firewood. They think they're cleaning up places, and you're quite right. We need the whole ecosystem, and those fallen timbers provide so much habitat for lizards, snakes, ants, you know, you name it. Small creatures use those as much as they do the trees and shrubs.
You mentioned Mike O'Keefe. Now, when I first came to Armidale, the tree group was over at the back of the showground, and its entrance was there across from O'Connor High School.
Yes.
So I used to go and chat to Mike. May he rest in peace as well.
Yes.
Stalwart for the Armidale tree group during his time.
Absolutely. He and a number of other key people, David Curtis and the Stellars and some others, they just spent hours and hours going out and promoting, speaking to whomever would listen to them about what to do in the landscape and how to do it. They would take little caravan around and park it at the markets or wherever they could and hand out flyers, sell trees that they'd propagated in little pots and so on, just to get people to be part of the journey. And that grew, and of course, as you're aware, we eventually gained the lease of the Crown land in the Mann Street location that we currently are, and built the Woodland Centre, which is now named in memory of Mike as the Mike O'Keefe Woodland Centre.
No, it's fantastic, and I suppose we move through time and generations and people pass away, but it's the legacy that they leave which is important to remember in one part, but also add to as we progress.
Yes, and the tree group's grown markedly since those early days. You would remember it's now quite a large group where we've branched out just from the retail farm pack sales that we used to do into a whole range of environmental services that we provide to the community, and again promoting a larger scale of re-veg in the landscape. We've now got the capacity to do that with the skills and knowledge that we've built up over the years.
So let's just go into the details of our tree group. So I read off the web that there's four components: environmental management,
yes;
revegetation,
yes;
weed management,
yes;
consultancy and reporting. So they're all functions done by, is there a paid group of people with the Armidale Tree Group?
Yeah, we have a core of paid staff. We couldn't operate without them. But we also have a really good team of casuals that come in. It's really hard for casuals, you would be aware, because it's quite seasonal work, a lot of the work we do. So, and we also have a fantastic group of volunteers that come in, which we continually promote to people, that if they've got an interest in coming in and helping around the nursery in any capacity, just to come in for the social aspects and the peace and quiet that goes with working in a nursery location, if they have any interest, they can certainly come and see us, help out there as well.
We're talking about a non-profit organisation.
Absolutely. It goes back into fostering plants and the activities we do.
So how many members would you have?
We've got about 350 members, so quite a number. That's individuals and families.
And what does it cost to be a member?
It's $10 a year for members.
That's
either individuals or family.
And what do we get for...
What do we get for that? We get a newsletter, regular information in there about various topics, from anything from how to manage drought to what's the latest plant. We'll have Tree of the Month. We'll have other things in there. We also provide information to people about various ways to plant and manage their properties. People can come in and gain advice on how to plant in their landscape, either in their backyard or in their farm. We've got people who have knowledge and ability to spend time with them to help them through that process.
So I think that's the way I see the Armidale Tree Group, is it doesn't matter on what scale you want to plant your backyard, for example. You can come in and you can ask for advice. You can get advice of what's available there, what might be coming on, or you can put an order in, or you can move to that large scale like you're doing on your 100 acres where you've planted 20,000 trees. So it doesn't matter at what point you want to start regreening New England, you can come into the tree group and find out how you can help. Now, if you don't have a parcel of land to do, let's say you're a renter in town and you just want to get involved in a non-profit organisation and give back to the environment, the Umdale Tree Group will welcome you with open arms.
Absolutely, Herb. You've hit it in the nutshell. The scale is immaterial. It's the fact that people want to participate and find out how they can participate. If you rent a property and you're worried about putting plants in that your landlord won't like, we have plants that you can take home in pots and nurture and foster and enjoy as well. So there's baronias, for example, beautiful little shrubs with beautiful little flowers that smell magnificent when they're in flower, and you can keep those in on your veranda or on your table and add that sort of enjoyment to your own property.
We mentioned off there another bit of a gardener who's a bit of an orchidist, Pete Metcalf.
Yes.
Perfect plant an orchid if you wanted to take home and try and plant an orchid.
Yes.
You can get advice, I'm assuming, from Pete or somebody there about growing orchids.
Pete Metcalf would talk to you all day about plants, as you know, Herb. He's a fountain of knowledge, not just about orchids, which he does grow beautifully. And yeah, I saw some that he brought in the other day, which are on display there in at the tree group at the moment. And I asked him how they grow, and he said, oh, they just grow. And he's got a green thumb, and he's got great knowledge and experience. He has been doing it for a long time, but he's not just limited to orchids, as you know. He's got a breadth of knowledge about all sorts of plants right across the New England landscape. So if you've got a piece of land somewhere and you want to know about what sort of trees and plants, Pete or some of the other people we have in there are just so knowledgeable.
Yeah, let's touch back on native species.
Yes.
So I had John Lemon in.
Yes.
We had the koala film here at the Belgrave a couple of weeks ago, and I got John Lemon. He's a ecologist, and he came in and talked about the koala and some of the problems that the koala is having with its continual survival. The point that he made is that we've got to regreen New England.
Yes.
For the population of koalas that we've got. And we actually pointed to the Armadale Tree Group about the koala pack.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about the koala pack?
Well, the koala pack is specifically designed by John and Dave Carr to actually be planted into the New England to provide food and habitat trees for koalas as an indicator species. And so people with a bit of space, it doesn't matter if you've you need a couple of acres minimum to plant these out, because they will grow quite large. They're trays of 40 tree species that you can take home and plant in your backyard, basically, to be part of that growth of the corridor to conserve and preserve our koalas.
So I suppose if you don't have a parcel to grow to plant those 40 plants, you can just come in and get involved as a volunteer and help others plant those plants on blocks around the place.
We can do that. We've actually got part two of a koala project going at the moment, where we have out around the Boralong area, people have ceded pieces of their farmland to us that we are going to plant out with koala species in there. And part of that will be a community planting day, and we will put notice out there and people can come and help do that in late spring. That'll occur. So we'll give plenty of notice, and people that bring their families out, and we, as usual, have a barbecue and make a picnic day of it to get into the landscape and do our bit.
So I just want to go back a step. Is the beneficial aspects of being outdoors, being with other people,
yeah,
or even finding a place on your own to be in solitude, yeah, but planting and being with earth and all those aspects, both from an emotional and a psychological point of view, I suppose, the benefits of being involved with the tree group are much more than just regreening New England. You're actually talking about the personal benefits that people get by volunteering and planting plants.
Well, look, I'm no psychologist, but we know from being engaged with the earth and with other people and doing something that you find worthwhile and will leave a legacy for the future gives great benefits personally and gives people things to value and look back on. And our volunteer days that we've had, people have just gone away having had a fantastic day. So it's really uplifting to see what goes on in those days and how people interact together. And you get to meet people you've never met before and make friendships from that that you'll probably carry on every time you go out to one of these things or come to the tree group or go to the movies or something else.
the people that you encourage to come, obviously people that have a passion for the environment and doing their little bit, are children encouraged?
Yes, absolutely. Families, children. We run sessions for schools at the tree group. We've run classes where we've invited children to come in and do various activities, bug hunting and all sorts of things. So these planting days are not the only things we do that encourages children-friendly and family-friendly things. One of Kerry Stella's favourite things is making seed balls for kids to throw out of the cars when they're travelling so that they just scatter seeds into the environment. And, of course, we're doing appropriate environmentally responsible planting in those seeds because they're endemic species for the area. So
they hopefully they replace the damn apple trees that keep when people throw their apple cores out the window.
Yes.
Hopefully they're replaced now. So let's just go on to the older people.
Yes.
So do you cater for older people coming in and helping out?
Yes. Many of our volunteers are retired people just looking for one or two days a week or a fortnight where they can come in and just be helpful, participate in an activity that they wouldn't normally do with a group of people they wouldn't normally see, to give them a whole lot of different interests and conversations and so on. But also older people are also welcome on those farm days. There's many things that people can do that don't require getting down on your hands and knees if you're not capable of doing it. So many hands make the whole tree group work.
If you're interested in contributing to the Armidale Tree Group and the work that they're doing across New England, probably the best thing is to first make contact, go into the Woodland Centre.
Yes.
Find out what you can do, offer your services, all that type of thing.
Yep.
So you are the Vice President of the Armidale Tree Group?
I am, for my sins, Herb, yes. That's my role at the present time. Dave Stella's the President. He's been President for a number of years now, and I've stepped up into the Vice President's role about 2 years ago. I came onto the committee having been a customer for many years and then got asked if I'd come and work with the committee, and we're always looking for interested people. One of the things, Herb, I must say that none of us are getting any younger, and if there are any young people out there who are really interested in participating, come in. It's a welcoming group. We are all volunteers, and if you want to come and be part of it, come in and we'll happily talk to you till the cows come home.
I think that's the problem with all non-profit organisations, is attracting a younger group of volunteers to your ranks. I know with the 2ARM Community Radio here, a non-profit organisation, we have trouble finding younger people.
Yes.
We acknowledge exactly the same thing. The work still has to be done, even though it's volunteer, but you need to be able to have some planning in place where someone's going to take over those important roles.
Yes.
And as I said right at the beginning, those people who started who are no longer with us, then you do need a succession of people coming in. Now, didn't the tree group have a band at one stage?
Yeah.
Michael Drillsmer was doing something.
It still does.
All right.
They came out of retirement for the 40th anniversary dinner. So Dave Curtis, and they came and played at the dinner that we had at the Armidale Bowling Club. So, yes, the band was very active there for one stage. Like everyone else, they grow up, get lives, have families and move to different places. It was great to have the reunion, and they played the house down and everyone had a great night. Must say, although we're getting a bit older, we still got up and moved around and had a fantastic time. Probably a few sore joints the next day, not used to it, but...
Well, that's fantastic. So I suppose a call out, we'll just repeat a couple of things. So a call out to any new members that want to come along. It's a non-profit organisation. $10 a year for your membership, individuals or families.
Yes.
You get a newsletter. You get invites to different days. You're on Facebook, of course. You can check it. But for me, the big thing has always been coming in and picking people's brains about what I wanted to plant, what would be good here, there and the other. You know, I made my own decisions about what I wanted to plant and for whatever reasons I wanted to plant. But I got all the information and knowledge. You can still go in. I go in and buy whatever I'm buying just recently to little patch that I needed to fill in with something that was bird attracting.
Yep.
And maybe a bit spiky and bird attracting, so the damn feral cats didn't get in amongst to the native birds. Now, you've got a bit of an event coming up. So there's a bit of a story here that I'll present, but you've got the 1st of September is Wattle Day. What do you got planned for Wattle Day?
It is Wattle Day. Peter Metcalf, long-time founding member of the tree group, and Fountain of Knowledge that we've already talked about, he has basically an arboretum at his backyard. He underplays it. He's very low key, but he's got about 30 or 40 wattle species in his garden, and he's throwing his garden open for two garden tours during that day on the 1st of September for people to come out. I think the first tour is at Peter's Place at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the second one will be about 2 o'clock, and he'll take people on a guided walk through his garden so people can see all the wonderful plants, and hopefully a lot of those wattle species will be out in flower on that day for people to see. If people want details about it, it's up on the Armidale Tree Group Facebook page, and there's a link on there. The tickets for the tour are $10 each, so it's a nominal fee for the day, and we'll provide directions and so on that link page, how to get to Peter's Place.
So he's out on Jumeirik Dam Road.
He is indeed, so it's not that far from town, so anybody who just wants to travel out about 10 k's to the west of town, you'll be able to get to Peter's Place quite quickly and have a look around this magnificent garden. And if you want to see how a native garden can be developed in your backyard, I recommend it as a great opportunity, Herb.
So if you don't have Facebook, you could just go into the tree group and find out all about it?
The staff there will be only too happy to help you out.
Give them a ring?
Yep, give them a ring, come in and see us. We'll be only too happy to help.
I did an interview, this is about Wattle Day, so I think it's probably quite appropriate to bring it up. I did an interview a little while back with Maria Hitchcock.
Yes.
A local member that's been here for quite a few years. Now, she's part of the Australian Native Plant Society here in Armidale. Passionate about plants. But what we discovered is that Maria is directly responsible for the recognition of the golden wattle that's on our emblem. It's a whipstick wattle. It's Acacia pycnanthum. And she basically had it recognised. It had never been recognised, even though it became our coat of arms in 1910, it had never been officially recognised as our national emblem. So she pestered during the 80s, I think she pestered, late 80s, she pestered every politician under the sun to get the recognition of the golden wattle as our national emblem. She also then went further to get Wattle Day recognised as September 1. So if you want to get the full story, I didn't give all the story, Maria tells it much better, you can go to our website 2arm.net.au/podcast, and in the search function just type in Maria and it'll come up, and you'll be able to listen to a wealth of information from Maria about all sorts of things, but in particular that wattle story, which I think it's fantastic story. So I encourage you to all do that. Let's have a think about the plants that are grown in tree group. So would it be right to say that they're all acclimatised to the Armidale New England region?
Yes. Our focus is to grow plants endemic to this region, and you won't find many of our plants grown in any other nursery because they are particular to this region. They survive in the poor soils, they survive in the harsh climate, cold winters and the frosts and so on, and we're very mindful to ensure that we have the knowledge available to tell people which plants grow in the right place, where and when, and how to ensure that they have the best opportunity. They have everything from grasses to shrubs right through to all the eucalypts that people would be familiar with around the landscape.
So I suppose that's the point then, is it's called the Armidale Tree Group, but it's not just trees. You've got bushes, the understory.
We do.
You've got the ground story as well.
Yes.
And I actually even, when Rob was there, I got some yam daisies.
Yes.
And I wanted to have a bit of go with yam daisies. So they're a ground-dwelling indigenous food species that's very poorly understood, I suppose. It was actually probably better understood by Aboriginal people. But the yam daisies, you've got grasses.
And forbs, we grow all sorts of things like that. Native peas.
Dianana lily.
Dianana lily, yes. We tend to, the bulk of our planting are the more common things because they're going to go into the broad farming landscape where they need to be able to fit in with whatever is out there in the particular circumstances you're going to face. But we do have from time to time these unusual and varied species in there, probably not in large numbers, many are hard to propagate, but we're actually increasingly growing those out for people because we know that people like unusual and different plants to try out. And as the climate changes, we're actually doing some tests to see what will change with the changing climate, drying periods, wetter periods and so on.
So just go back to the Dianella lily. I noticed that it comes up by itself in my block.
Yes.
But it's a food source for the blue bum bee, the native bee.
Yes, the blue-banded bee, yes.
Just on that note, a lot of people want to come in and they want it there and then.
Yes.
But if you didn't have it, you could put an order in for it and it could be propagated for you. For next season.
You can indeed, yes, and we will appreciate the time. One thing that people have to be aware of when they put orders in, and you touched on it, it does take time to propagate particular plants, but if there are particular orders in, yes, we can accommodate those given enough notice.
Well, I think that happened with the Yamdosia and Rob in that I asked him about it and he said, I know where I can get some seed.
Yes.
Because one of the problems with Yamdosia is it gets decimated by stock. But he knew of a place in Armidale near the university, I won't say where it was, but where stock has been excluded for so many years, the yam daisy grows all naturally. And he harvests the seed for me and I got a few trays to trial out in my back block there. And that only took, I think it was only one season. He had the seeds and he had the plants up and gave them a go.
That's another aspect of the tree group that we didn't touch on is the seed collection part of the tree group. Rob had the skills and the licensing to go out and do it. We've continued that on. We have staff who have the skills. And we go out to places where we're licensed to go and collect from and get a variety of seed species and propagate those from seed so that we get genetic diversity occurring and that brings the strength into the plants that we grow. One of the problems we had during the drought was the snow gum population around here suffered really badly because of the heat, and we have some surviving colonies. We've targeted those so that we can get the seeds from those and actually grow the stronger plants for survival.
Yeah, I think my mugger ironbarks that I came from out at Bundara way, because they were a particularly robust species and grew quite straight.
Yes.
Which is what I wanted. So it takes a long time, my understanding is, for a hollow log to be developed in a native tree, so you'd probably be dead and buried by the time a hollow log has occurred in your tree that you planted. But we can do artificial hollow logs, which is boxes for bats and birds.
Yes.
Does the tree group give any advice on that?
We will. We do. There's a couple of people in this area that actually make boxes, and we can source those for people, or we can refer them to those makers if they wish them. They are a great way, Herb. That was a good pick up on that, to say how people can actually foster homes for birds, parrots, bats and all sorts of species around the place without waiting 100 or 300 years for hollows.
Well, that's fantastic. So I think we might finish up there, Paul. Just a reminder, Wattle Day is coming up on the 1st of September. There's two trips out to Pete Methcar's place out at his place on Jumeirik Dam Road. There's a 10 o'clock and a 2 p.m. tour around his block of wattles. How many wattles did you say?
About 30 to 40 species he was
30 to 40 species.
Night.
And you'll probably even get a look at his orchids at the same time.
You'll proudly show that whatever you want to look at there.
Yeah, yeah. And you can go to the Facebook group and find information about how to get involved. If you don't want to get in, if you don't have Facebook, you can go into the tree group and ask for a little bit of help and they'll let you know. Just tell me, what have you got for the future in terms of what you'd like to do with the tree group?
We've had in the region a couple of family-owned nurseries that have actually closed. Just people have got to the end of their working life and closed them down. So we're one of the few nurseries that can propagate the volumes of plants that are foreshadowed to be needed for the future. And that includes things like the new solar farm activities that are going on that need screen planting and so on. So the tree group's grown its environmental services with the future growth in mind, with the demand coming on, and we're looking at basically doubling our capacity of annual throughput. So we go from about 100,000 plants a year to double that.
So that would mean then that you would need more volunteers?
Yes, we will.
And you'll need more paid staff as well?
We will indeed.
And so would it be true then to say that if you were interested in if you're younger, starting a family, you were interested in that line of work, working the outdoors, working to restore the environment. If you came in as a volunteer and showed your worth and your commitment, there would be potential for paid employment when particular jobs were advertised. You could then apply for those jobs. And because people have seen the work that you've done and your commitment and your knowledge that you've developed as a volunteer, then you'd probably be a competitive candidate. I wouldn't say you'd definitely get the job, but you'll be a competitive candidate.
Yes.
So it's almost like a training. Come in as a volunteer, get your training, then if you want to go further, applying for positions. Would that be true to say?
That's a good description, and that pathway's already benefited some people in our organisation.
So in that way, you're contributing back to the community, not only with the trees, but the opportunities for employment and experience and training.
Yes.
And people may not decide to stay in Armidale, they might move somewhere else, but they've had the volunteer training. Similar to what we do at 2ARM, free training, come in, volunteer, and it could be the springboard or the platform for future employment in the field if you choose that field.
Absolutely, and that also helps them even if they do go somewhere else. Herb, we've given them a foundation to understand that there are careers in these sort of things wherever they go.
So I found the number, 67711620, and the email is nursery@armidaletreegroup.org.au. That's nursery@armidaletreegroup.org.au. Phone number 67711620. Well, Paul, thanks very much for coming in. It's been a fantastic time to talk about the environment and what the Armidale Tree Group is doing. I thank you for coming in for Community Spotlight.
Thanks for having me in, Herb. It's been a pleasure.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.